Jaya Prabhupada, ชาลาบุพาใจพระบุพาใจยาปิชาลา
Prabhupada ki Jayam Vishnupad Panaman Sabai Bhajagacha Asti Kusari Shri Shrimad Bhakti Granta Sama Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. Our glories to the Assembled Devotees. Our glories to the Assembled Devotees. Our glories to the Assembled Devotees. Our glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Verses 10 through 12, Manifestation of Brahma from Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. So I'll read 10 and 11, and then we'll do 12 together. Udaplutam vishvam iram tadasit yani drayamirita jinyamilayat ahindatape dishayana ikha kritakshana slapmarita niriha. At that time, when the three worlds were submerged in water, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu was alone, lying on his bedstead, the great snake Ananta. And although he appeared to be in slumber, in his own internal potency, free from the action of the external energy, his eyes were not completely closed. Purport. The Lord is eternally enjoying transcendental bliss by his internal potency, whereas the external potency is suspended during the time of the dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Santa sharire itabhuta sukshma kalat mikam shaktim udi rayana uvasatasmen salile pade sve yata nalagdaraniru avivyaha. Just like the strength of fire within fuel wood, the Lord remained within the water of the solution, submerging all living entities in their subtle bodies. He lay in the self-invigorated energy called Kala. Purport. After the three worlds, upper, lower, and middle planetary systems merged into the water of the solution, the living entities of all the three worlds remain in their subtle bodies by dint of the energy called Kala. In this dissolution, the gross bodies became unmanifest, but the subtle bodies existed just like the water of the material creation. Thus, the material energy was not completely wound up, as is the case in the full dissolution of the material world. Okay, so now we will read this verse together. Chatur yuganam cha sahasramapsu. Swapan svayodi ritaya swashaktya. Kala kyaya sadita karma tantro. Lokan napitan darishe sadehe. Chant. Sahasramapsu. Chatu, four, Yuganam of the millenniums. Cha, also, Sahasram, 1,000. Apsu, in the water. Swapan, dreaming in sleep. Swaya, with his internal potency. Udiritaya, for further development. Sashakya, by his own energy. Kala Akyaya, by the name Kala. Asadita, being so engaged. Karmatantra, in the matter fruit of activities. Lokan, total living entities. Apitan, bluish. Dadushe, saw it so. Sadehe, in his own body. Translation, the Lord lay down for 4,000 yuga cycles in his internal potency, and by his external energy, he appeared to be sleeping within the water. When living entities were coming out for further development of their fruitive activities, actuated by the energy called Kala Shakti, he saw his transcendental body as bluish, purport. In the Vishupurana, Kala Shakti is mentioned as avidya. The symptom of the influence of the Kala Shakti is that one has to work in the material world for fruitive results. The fruit of workers are described in Bhagavad Gita as mudhas, or foolish. Such foolish living entities are very enthusiastic to work for some temporary benefit within perpetual bondage. One thinks himself very clever throughout his life if he is able to leave behind him a great asset of wealth for his children. And to achieve this temporary benefit, he takes the risk of all sinful activities, without knowledge that such activities will keep him perpetually bound by the shackles of material bondage. Due to this polluted mentality and due to material sins, the aggregate combination of living entities appear to be bluish. Such an impetus of activity for fruit of result is made possible by the dictation of the external energy of the Lord Kala. Mukam karari vachalam bangam langate girim yakipam tamam bande shi guru dinatavinam om agyana timirandasya gyanam shalakaya chakshur minitam yena tasama shi guru vinamah. So this is Canto 3, Chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. So it is emphasized in this verse that why people are working so hard is because they are being dictated by Kala, or time. So the energy of time, also the verse says, the Kala Shakti brings everybody out here to do their Fruta activities. Yes, Kala Shakti. When we are in the beginning of creation, actually this is not the very beginning of creation, it's the beginning of the day of Brahma. So we were sleeping with Gaudakshaya Vishnu. Now it's time to come out, and we are being pushed by Kala, or time. So Kala was there even at the beginning of creation when the Lord glanced at Durga. And inside the glance of the Lord, there are three things. Kala is one thing, the living entities, is Jiva is another, and Karma. Three things are coming out in the glance at the beginning of creation. So what happens is at the beginning, the personified Vedas start praying to the Lord. I'll sing one of the first prayer. Jaya 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 Ajita Dosha Kripita Gunan Tamasi Aratmana Samavavira Samasapaga Akajagara Kasamakila Shakyavabodakate Kwajira Jayat Mana Chacharatanucharenikama. The Shutis, the personified Vedas, they're saying, victory to you, O unconquerable one. You are perfectly full in all opulence, so please defeat the eternal power of illusion. And so they're waking up the Lord, and the first thing they're asking from him is to please help us go beyond this external energy, this time potency. Help us, because you are in control of the modes of nature, but the Kala Shakti is here to create difficulties for conditioned souls. So they are praying to the Lord to please wake up and help us. So here we are seeing that the Lord was sleeping, living entities were sleeping, but now they're waking up, and even though the Lord is awake, his eyes are half closed. He still doesn't look awake, but he's very awake because if he didn't look at us, if he didn't glance at us, everything would be finished. His glance is the beginning of creation, and his glance is the maintenance as well, according to 11th Canto. If he stopped looking, everything would be finished. So his glance is still there. He's still looking at us. At the beginning of creation, he was alone, and he was feeling insufficient. He wanted to wake up his external energy. And he saw that we were also asleep, and he was very compassionate. And that's the purpose of creation, is compassion. The cause of creation is compassion of the Lord, to wake us up. So then we can enjoy with him. Wake up, and not only wake up from sleeping in the causal ocean, but also wake up to spiritual life. Everyone, most of the people in this world are asleep to spiritual life. So Lord Chaitanya also came, wake up sleeping soul, jeev jago, jeev jago. Everybody should wake up. While we are here, we are under the influence of Kala, or time. Yesterday we were hearing some prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, and one of his prayers, he says, I'm being crushed by time. Please, please, free me from this crushing of time. When will you call me to yourself? I'm really feeling crushed. But actually, devotees are not crushed by time. Devotees go beyond time. We'll hear a little bit more about that. Kala has different faces. Time has different faces. One face is for the non-devotees, and one face is for the devotees. Two faces, many faces of time, and these are two of them. And so for the non-devotees, Kala Sarpa, the snake of time. And so a snake creeps up on you, and when you're not aware, you get the bite of the snake. One time there was a snake in Mayapur when Prabhupada was there, and everybody was very concerned and they were chasing it, and the snake got away. So everybody was afraid to sleep that night, especially Pradyumna, my god brother. So he went between two of the devotees and wedged himself in between so the snake wouldn't bite him. And so Prabhupada was joking in the morning, so did everybody sleep nicely last night? Pradyumna. And Prabhupada told a story that one time one baby was cursed to be bitten by a snake, so all the family members slept around that baby, but the snake came and crawled over the others and bit the baby. Oh yeah, and we are all being bitten by the snake of time. So this, the modes of nature are also being controlled by time, and all the results of the fruit of work also arranged by time. And so we must try to surrender to Krishna, because that will help us to get beyond time. Yudhisthira was asked in Mahabharata many questions. Of course, one question is, what's the most wonderful thing? And everybody, that's a very famous question. So we know the answer, that everybody is dying, but they think they will. They see everyone around is dying, but they think they will not die. But he was asked another question. And the other question was, what is the news? And so Yudhisthira Maharaj said, the news is, this universe, this cosmic manifestation, is like a gigantic frying pot. And we are all being fried. And some of us are well done, and some of us are completely fried. And who is the cook? Time. Time is the cook. Who is cooking us? And you can see, if you get a certain age, that you feel every morning, you feel very cooked. Pain is somewhere here or there in the body when you wake up. And so Bhishma Dev was also, he was struck with wonder, how time is influencing, how wonderful it is that here we see King Yudhisthira, he's the son of the demigod controlling religion. Bhima is a great fighter and Arjuna is a great archer, but somehow there were reverses for all of them. So Srila Prabhupada explains, despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, the power of weapons, under direct supervision of Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many reverses. So why do great devotees suffer, or seem to suffer? Prabhupada explains that the Lord teaches the world by teaching the devotee. And the example is given that in the Indian families especially, the mother-in-law teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. So the daughter-in-law learns from the daughter. So we are the children of Krishna, and the whole world is like the in-laws, and they are learning from the devotees how to live in this world, how to be happy, chant and be happy, of course. And so then Prabhupada gives us what should be our attitude, is that whenever a show is made to teach the devotee, we should ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as a benediction. that this is Krishna's mercy. So yes, one time Srila Prabhupada was sick, and for 3 days he was tossing and turning, and then one his servant asked him, "Does a pure devotee suffer?" Srila Prabhupada said, "No, it was a lover's bite." And so that's how the devotee sees suffering given by Krishna. He sees the hand of Krishna behind it. He sees the hand of Krishna. But most people are afraid of time. Why are they afraid? Because they don't see that time is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why they're afraid. They don't see time is Krishna. So a devotee, he knows, oh, this is just another manifestation of Krishna, and that is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he saw that. He saw that in the Second World War, 1942, he said, "I saw the Vishvarupa of Krishna during World War II. There was a siren, he ran to a shelter, and the bombing came. And I was thinking, of course, this is just another form of Krishna, but it's not a very lovable form." And so, yeah, he saw that this is the Vishvarupa. When the bombs were coming, Vishvarupa, okay. Well, it's Krishna. And so Prabhupada gives an example in Gita purport that if your father's a policeman and he comes home firing his gun, you might be scared. And so this is like seeing the universal form of Krishna. Now, here in this purport, it's talking about how foolish living entities are enthusiastic to work for some temporary benefit within perpetual bondage. One thinks himself very clever throughout his life if he's able to leave behind him a great asset of wealth for his children. And so, yeah. But, and to achieve this temporary benefit, he takes the risk of all sinful activities without knowledge that such activities will keep him perpetually bound by the shackles of material bondage. So I saw on Facebook one beautiful actress, and at age of 40, she got stomach cancer. A world-renowned designer and author, and so she wrote, "I had the world's most expensive car in my garage, but now I have to move in a wheelchair. My house sells all kinds of branded clothes, shoes, and valuables, but now my body is wrapped in a small cloth provided by the hospital. I have plenty of money in the bank, but now I benefit nothing from this amount. My house was like a castle, but now I'm sleeping in two beds in the hospital. From five-star hotel to five-star hotel, but right now I'm spending time in the hospital moving from lab to lab. I've given hundreds of people signatures, but this time medical records are my signature. I've had 7 barbers to do my hair, but now I don't have a hair on my head. I traveled in a private jet. I can fly anywhere. But now I need 2 aides to walk to the hospital door. Although there are a lot of foods, now my diet is 2 tablets a day and a few drops of salt water at night. This house, this car, this plane, this furniture, this bank, too much reputation and fame. None of them serves me. None of this will relax me. There is nothing real except death. At the end of the day, it's all about health. Please be happy with a little. How much you have, as long as you have health, a plate of food, a place to sleep, and family. You have it all." Unfortunately, she didn't realize there was more to life than that. But this is how most people end their lives in this world. They leave, they come with nothing, and they leave with nothing. And so Prahlad Maharaj, he says in his prayer that, oh, yes, I'm being crushed by time. I'm being crushed. And so, but Krishna is very merciful to devotees. We know time of death, the non-devotee, he's like a rat being caught in the mouth of the cat, and the devotee is like a little kitten being held in the mother cat's mouth. Taken back to her home, the cat, little kitten, strays away sometimes, and the mother takes the kitten back to where the kitten belongs. And so this is the only way to get out of this suffering in this world is to surrender to Krishna. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj says, that this is the offer, that we should take this up, offer up of Krishna, surrender to me. So another face of time is as a witness. Kunti Devi, she says, "My Lord, you are eternal time, supreme controller without beginning and end." And this is, Prabhupada explains that we have Lord in our heart, Paramatma. But another name of the Lord in our heart is Kala, or time, because he watches. He witnesses all our actions, good and bad. And so then we get the results. So therefore, devotees don't waste time. Avyartha Kalatvam, it's a symptom of bhava. In first canto, fifth chapter, verse 18, it's described persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that thing which is not attainable by wandering from the highest planet to the lowest planet, and that is Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema. The devotees are beyond time also. In the first canto, 16th chapter, the sages say, as long as Yamaraj is present here, no one shall meet death. So that means whoever is in Bhagavatam class, Yamaraj will not come at this time. So that's why it's good to come to class every morning, and Yamaraj will not come. He will come, but he's busy because he's listening to Krishna Katha. He comes to class, but he's not coming to take us. He's coming to be with us in satsanga, sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha. And so, because why? The great sages have invited Yamaraj to class. So the verse says, living beings under his grip should take advantage hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration of Krishna. Yeah, so today Yamaraj is with us, and we're very happy because he's here just to listen and not to take us away. And so he's a great devotee, actually. He was Vidura. We shouldn't be afraid of Yamaraj. He said to his messengers, don't go to take any devotees. We offer them respect. We go to those who don't chant Hare Krishna. Bring them here. And so yes, we actually, just like the Yamadutas are wandering around looking for sinful people, the Vishudutas are also wandering and looking to help the devotees. And that's why devotees, they get into trouble, like, but Krishna protects them. There are so many examples. I know at least two with Satchinandan Swami. At one time he was thrown from a car, he and another person, and they were okay. But somehow the rescuers didn't know how he got out from the car, because the doors were, everything was closed, and he couldn't get out. Another time he was driving on a mountain path, and there, a car was coming head-on collision. It was going to happen, and all of a sudden a hole appeared in the side of the mountain, and they drove into that hole and got past that car and went. Continued. They went back and they couldn't find the hole that came there. So Vishudutas are waiting to help devotees. They're just there, waiting to help us. And so Srila Prabhupada, when he was lecturing in India, can't remember the place, in the early 70s, 71. He was lecturing on the verse of Yamaraj that go bring those who don't chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said to this room of Indians sitting in his class, go bring those people who do not become life members of ISKCON. So everybody became a life member in the class. Because if a pure devotee says something, Krishna must make it come true. And so, yeah, he Prabhupada also was in that mood of telling people, yes, you better get serious, become a life member, chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna will save you. So, yes, in his purport of that verse in first canto, he said, try to perceive the truth. Since you began Krishna consciousness, your death has been stopped. But don't fall down again and capture death. So another verse, Ayaharati Vaipunsam, Vijanastanchayana, Sautisarta Yakshano Nita, Uttama Shloka Vartaya. By rising and by setting, the sun decreases duration of life of everyone, except one who is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, who is hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his song, Udila Aruna, he says, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping. This is Lord Chaitanya. When he goes out on Harinam early in the morning, he says to everyone, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping, in the daytime decorating your bodies. You receive this greatest gift of the human form, but you do not care for it. Not caring for the darling of Yashoda, you slowly fall through your last moments till death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. So why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord in heart? So Krishna favors goodness, actually. The time factor is said in 7th canto. We were hearing yesterday, 7th canto. The time factor enhances the mode of goodness. So he favors the demigods. Time favors the demigods. And devotees are also devas, demigods. Devotees are also in that category of goodness. So if we remain a devotee, then we will be favored by time. And there is a time for creation, a time for maintenance, a time for destruction. At the beginning of creation, there's penance, there's Brahma, Prajapatis, great sages. During maintenance, there's Vishnu, the demigods, and the kings of different planets. At the end, there's irreligion, Lord Shiva, and the atheists, full of anger. And so now we're kind of in the middle. Of course, Kali Yuga is kind of a destructive time, but we're in the golden age, the beginning. And so it's a very good time to be here on this earth, if we are performing devotional service. So as Krishna comes here as time in the material world, but not in the spiritual world, the spiritual time has no past or future, only present, no future, no past. So, and you can't even conceive of it. And when Krishna was on this planet, he had 16,108 wives and palaces for each one of them. And one time, Narada Muni visited each of those palaces within a few minutes. He could go very fast. And so in the first palace, there was Rukmini fanning Krishna. In the second palace, Krishna was having lunch. In the third palace, it was afternoon and in the water playing. So there are different time zones in each of those planets, just like we have 24. Well, imagine 16,108 time zones. Well, that's the spiritual world. We can't imagine what it's like up there. We can't imagine. And so time is different. And Srila Prabhupada was also beyond time. He never wasted his time. Srila Kirti was telling them when they were on a flight, he said that he was only 20 years old, but he had a difficult time keeping up with Prabhupada. He was 75 years old. And in morning walks, if you've ever been on a morning walk with Prabhupada, I was on a morning walk in Juhu, Bombay one time, and I was I was late, so I was running to catch up. And as soon as I caught up, Prabhupada stopped everything and turned to me, Hare Krishna. And so he had time for everyone. It's not like, I was like a nobody, one out of thousands. But that didn't mean I wasn't important to him. He had the time for me. And then after that, I, you know, I was like 20 something, he was 70 something, and I couldn't keep up with him. And I was trying to figure out, how does he walk so fast? How does he walk so fast? And it's like, yeah, on morning walks, sometimes devotees would look at each other and think, when are we going back? You know, he's such a fast walker. And one time he was on a flight, a short flight from New York. And of course, devotees like to go on the plane with Prabhupada. So in the next row, in the same row, there were devotees. But they were falling asleep. They kept nodding their heads. And Prabhupada said, just see, everyone is wide awake except for the devotees. They are in Maya, sleeping. Everyone else is awake. Why they can't stay awake? Srila Kirti said, usually when Srila Prabhupada addressed me like that, I became silent. I was afraid of saying the wrong thing and disturb him further. I learned that there was no good reason, no such thing as a good reason for Srila Prabhupada. He said, you know, actually I didn't say, you know, devotees only sleep a few hours compared to the others. And so, but one thing was certain, I didn't sleep on that flight. So yeah, Prabhupada was beyond time. And one of our Iskanda sannyasis, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he went for darshan of Radha Govinda in his the house where Prabhupada spent his childhood. He saw the pujari putting on nice clothes on the deities, that he put a watch on Krishna, like Krishna has to know the time. of course, Krishna is beyond time, but we think, oh yeah, Krishna, he's like one of us, he needs the watch too. Krishna's in control of time, but when we take care of him, we think he needs to know the time like we do. So yes, so don't waste time. In Gita, we hear the regulated principles of freedom. So Prabhupada was liberated, but he was very regulated. There was a best time when the air was cool in the morning and to take the morning walk. Neighborhood was quiet. There was the best time to greet the deities, their time, of course, according. Best time to devotees to have class, to eat lunch, Prabhupada, every day at 1:30. He would have lunch. And so he had his transcendental behavior, his activities, according to important time, just for serving Krishna, to help serve Krishna. But then he did have his activities according to time. In New York, there one thing happened with the deities there, that they changed the Mangal Arati time from 4:30 to 3:45. So the devotees could go out for book distribution earlier. And Prabhupada came and took darshan of the deities, and he said, Krishna looks sleepy. He's not getting enough sleep. And so, yeah, he's working hard all day herding the cows. He needs to sleep. In New York, I guess, he also herds the cows somewhere. New York State, not New York City, I don't think. But so, yes, Krishna also. So when we worship the deities, we think, yeah, he needs. But we do have a time for breakfast, time for lunch, time. Everything is very strict. Deity worship. But so the lesson we must learn is don't waste time. That's the main thing. So I'll stop here if there's any questions. I didn't know I was supposed to speak about all those other things, so I didn't prepare about all those. Okay, any questions on the verse? Yes, Raghavika.
So you mentioned that the Vishnu Dutas are always looking for ways to help the devotees.
Yeah.
That made me think of, from the Christian background, the guardian angels.
Oh, guardian angels,
because,
yeah.
Because the Vishnu Dutas are of another platform, another
right.
sphere, you know,
mm-hmm.
dimension. And so guardian angels are truly there.
Yeah, that's true. We have guardian angels. Of course, we have our acharyas. There are guardian angels also.
Okay, of course. Thank you. You also said that the time factor enhances the mode of goodness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a verse.
But the time factor deteriorates everything, breaks down everything, like passion or ignorance.
Yeah, that, you know? Let's see if I can find that verse. It's from 7th Canto, chapter 1. I'll say the exact translation. I think that's what it says in the translation. Yes, yes. O King, this time factor enhances the sattva guna.
How is it
in the purport? Let's see. Prabhupada says, although the Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods who are mostly situated in sattva guna. Then the demons who are influenced by tamaguna are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. So he's in control. He's telling the time factor, okay, you favor them, you don't favor them. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport.
My understanding is that the motive...
Wait,
for the mic.
Microphone.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. It's very beautiful. What did I call it? My understanding is that the time, you have the three modes, and one of the modes controls, like, ignorance, from my understanding. Ignorance is predominating over the past. Rajas is predominating over the future, because that's being future-driven, just like an animal, is always looking for what's next.
Right.
And ignorance is stuck in the past.
And lamenting.
And sattva guna is the present.
The present, right.
So if you're in sattva guna, which is the present, you could do that and not necessarily be Krishna conscious. But if you're in the present moment and you're Krishna conscious, then
The difference.
Then the time factor is actually enhancing your ability to be.
That's a good point, That's a very good point. Yes, yes, goodness is present, in the present. And lamentation is past, and then desiring, hankering is the future. I want this, I want that. Oh, I lost that, I lost that.
Can we all suffer
from this? Yeah, we do. but as devotees, it's minimized.
And if we keep Krishna in our mind, even if we're hankering or lamenting for the past and the future, at least Krishna.
That's true, yeah. We can hanker for something to serve Krishna and can lament for lost service, something we didn't do. Yes? Question?
Just to understand. So there are two or three kind of dissolutions.
Yeah, there's four kinds.
Four kinds.
Four kinds of dissolution.
Lord Brahma's one day,
the
when
day
he goes
of Brahma,
to sleep night.
The life of Brahma, that's
right.
Two. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is eternal, like our body is always dying every moment. Every moment there's dissolution. Every second, some cells are dying. And that's what's happening. We're getting old. And then the fourth one is the final dissolution, when we go back to Godhead.
So, during these three dissolutions, we are in the subtle body with our karmas still going in
the
body
during the
converted Vishnu. So it's like you are in the body of Garvardakshaya Vishnu, but still you are not connected with the Lord. You are just still individual living entities with your own karmas.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yes. As long as we're in this material world.
I see.
When the final dissolution means subtle, gross, everything finished. And we go back to Godhead. Sometimes people think the final dissolution is the end of the universe or the Brahma's day. That's not final. The end of Brahma's life. That's not the final dissolution. Because we come back again to and to Vishnu. So it's not final. Final dissolution is when we go back to Godhead and we finish the gross and subtle bodies.
So even we are in touch with the Lord, but still that minute independence is keeping living entity in that situation.
That's right. We have our free will, free, which keeps us in bondage if we choose the wrong way.
Now here it is mentioned, due to this polluted mentality and due to material sins, the aggregate combination of living entities appears to be bluish in the purport.
Yeah.
So,
blue is, okay, which one? The polluted mentality and sins. Yeah, appears to be bluish, okay.
So it looks like some living entities who are with this sinful consciousness, mentality, and also polluted and sinful, when they die, their body become like a bluish?
No, this is at the beginning of creation, beginning of day of Brahma.
I see.
That's talking about this particular time, when they're coming out from the body of Vishnu, then they appear bluish.
Okay.
And you say when they die.
Thank you.
Any other question? Jai Gaur Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.